All of you hear of God. All of you know about God, don't you? You've all heard about Jesus. And in the recent years, you've heard a lot about what we call the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. If you could put all of your knowledge that you know about God, if you could write out everything you know about God, it may fill, what, one page? If you wrote out everything you knew about Jesus, how many pages could you write of information about Jesus? Just a ream of things you know about Jesus. When it comes to Holy Spirit, what could you write about Him? Not as much, I don't think, that you wrote about God, and that was just probably one page. You see, Jesus lived 3.5 years on this earth, and we know everything about Jesus, we think. Well, if you've memorized everything in the Bible about Him, then that plus what God has taught you in your spirit, you know a lot about Jesus. 3.5 years, we have built our churches upon Jesus. And rightly so. We have built our whole theology upon Jesus. And rightly so. And it's all based upon 3.5 years of His earthly ministry. But what about the Holy Ghost? 2,000 years plus, minus, the Holy Ghost has been around. And we don't know too much about Him. And the reason we don't know too much about Him is that we have thought of the Holy Ghost as a mist. You know what a mist is? Okay. So we want to talk to you this morning about the subject, Holy Spirit, mist or man? Mist or man? I've got a lot of scriptures I want to share with you. You don't have to turn to them, but some that are important, I'll give you time to turn to them. But is the Holy Spirit a mist that just falls upon us? Or is the Holy Spirit a man that walks in to us? And why do we call Him Holy Spirit? One of you prayed this morning, Holy Jesus. We haven't heard that in a long time, but that's right, Holy Jesus. And we don't often say, Holy God. Why do we say Holy Spirit? If He is part of the Trinity, a separate entity and yet same as God, why do we call Him a holy and we don't call Jesus holy or God holy? What makes Him so different to be called holy? Well, I'll answer that. And I think when it comes down to the bottom line, we're going to talk about this morning, what is it that cultivates the holiness of the Spirit in each one of us? And that's where we are in our church. How we can cultivate the holiness in ourselves. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John to start off with, because we've got to drive some pegs upon which we can hang this sermon this morning. John chapter 14. We're going to look at 3 verses in this book of John, so keep it open. John chapter 14, verse 26. 14:26. Now this is John talking, and he says, inspired by the Holy Spirit to record what Jesus said, 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now it is true, He calls Him here the Holy Ghost. There are other scriptures where it just says Spirit. The Spirit will do this, the Spirit will do that. This past week, and for no premeditated reason, in my praying, I have found myself referring to Mr. Spirit. And the first time I said that sounded very strange. Mr. Spirit, would you do this? I've been praying to the Spirit, Mr. Spirit. Now, what Mr. Spirit does is evident in these 3 verses of Scripture we're going to read. Here, Jesus said, Mr. Spirit, Mr. Ghost, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. It says, He will teach you. He will teach you. Now, a mist can't do this. But a man can. And the pronoun he will teach you all things. So even Jesus referred to the Spirit or the Ghost as a man. And I think when you think of him as a man, you're going to have a lot of theological conceptions torn down, and you're going to see the reality of what this business is all about by Mr. Spirit coming in. We've associated Jesus with a man and God as a man. Well, when we think of the Spirit as a man and not a mist, well, we're going to see some new things. Chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Now here it's not Holy Spirit, but Spirit, Mr. Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He, again, not this mist, but he shall testify of me. And then chapter 16, verse 7 and verse 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. These are just three of many scriptures that refer to the Holy Spirit as a man. And this, one person said, changed my whole thinking about the Trinity. I have thought of God as a Father. I have thought of Jesus as a Son. Well, that's because I've been taught all of these things. But when it came to the Spirit, I thought of a vapor. I thought of a Halloween ghost, kind of a sheet, moving around. But this is a man we're talking about. This is a man that has something to do. He is a personality that has aspects. He has intelligence. He has intelligence. Isaiah 40 speaks about the intelligence that the Holy Spirit has. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 speaks about his intelligence. Like in verse 10 following, it says, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit, and it doesn't say holy, but it means the Spirit, Mr. Spirit, searches all things. Yea, he searches the deep things of God. You see, he has intelligence. And with intelligence can be only applied to a person, not to some kind of a vapor or some kind of a mist. Verse 11, For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So he has intelligence, he has moral discrimination. Holiness can be applied to a man. Yes, it can be applied to a thing like a Bible, but we're talking about a man. And the holiness has to do a lot of things with us. For example, the scripture says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Only a person can be grieved. Mr. Spirit has a purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 11, But all these things, all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man as he wills. Mr. Spirit has a purpose to give out certain gifts to certain people at certain times. So we're talking about a man this morning, a man who has intelligence. We're talking about a man who has moral discrimination. We're talking about a man who has a purpose. So Mr. Spirit needs to enter our being with a new dimension. Now we call it a Holy Spirit because his work is to make us holy. If Mr. Spirit comes in, for example, up here to me and says, I want to come into you, I will say, all right, come on in. I will let Mr. Spirit come in. The interesting thing is, Mr. Spirit cannot be free to be Mr. Spirit as long as there are other Mr. Things inside of me. And this is where the perfection of holiness comes in. This is where we grow up. This is how we cultivate holiness, by removing the things so that Mr. Spirit can come in. Now, he is not an invisible kind of an influence that comes upon people. He is not an influence that comes upon people. He is a person. He is a person that walks up to you and says, "May I enter?" And then we can say yes or no. Or we can say yes, come on in, and you know the old worn out illustration, sit in the living room only, but I'm going to live in the family room. Well, this is where we have to eliminate things in our life so Mr. Spirit can be Mr. Holy Spirit in our life. He has come today to energize us, and it is his part today to do that. Picture, if you will, a large conference table where there are three people sitting at the table, and there are a lot of other people around, say like the UN conference. And in the center there is a table, and there are three men at the table. The first is God. Now God says, "I have done something, or I will do something." Like, for example, he breathed the whole world into existence. God made the world. God did a few other things, like he decided that he would send his son Jesus. So when God, sitting at the conference table, has finished his sphere of influence, he then turns to his son and he says, "Now, my son, I'm going to give to you what is necessary for you now to take over." So the son takes from God what God has given him. And then the son Jesus starts working in the world by giving his very life on the cross for salvation. Now this is for all the people that are around watching what's happening. Then it came a time when the son had finished his work. And the son says, "Now I have finished what I have been ordained to do, according to the word of God, as prophesied, I would become as I was, I would live as I did, I would die as I have. Now I am going to give to the third person here at the conference table something to do." So Jesus turns to Mr. Spirit and he says, "Mr. Spirit, I am now giving unto you so that you can go and do your work. Work of the first has been finished. Work of the second has been finished, and now the work of the third just begins." Didn't Jesus say, "I will go so I can send the Comforter, and he will do these various things that we read earlier"? So now you and I are living in this third stage ministry. Now, this does not mean we have forgotten Jesus, because you could not even get into the third stage ministry until you passed through Jesus. And so now we're living in this era where the Mr. Spirit is moving, and he convicts and he comforts, among many other things that he does. Now, this does not say that we have three gods, as some people claim we Christians have said. Because these three all are one, the Bible says. But this God has manifested himself in three parts: as a Father, as a Son, and as a Spirit. And it is Mr. Spirit that today is working. It is this Mr. Spirit that is calling all people to be saved. And just like the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 1 John 3:16, God gave his son, all, whosoever would believe. So you see, God has asked that we as earthlings be saved. He sent his son Jesus to pay the price, and now this Holy Spirit has to work in the lives of people to convict them so they can be saved, and then once being saved, he works in their life to do various things. When Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, about this subject, he says it like this. There are a lot of things that come, but nothing's going to be able to separate us. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we become a Christian through faith in Jesus, we have been predestined to that because we have accepted Jesus. And whom he has predestined, he will keep. Those people who accept have been foreknown by God and have been predestined by God to conform to his image. Those who reject Jesus, he has foreknown and he has predestined to be consigned to an eternal hell. And only people who have accepted Jesus or the called ones can be justified and sanctified. And we are not glorified until we meet the terms of the gospel. So I was reading in a book a couple of weeks ago at the beach house of a man who said, "Who are the people who've been glorified?" He thought to himself, "I haven't been glorified, and yet I have come to the Father, I've come to the Son, I haven't been glorified." He said, "I've been sanctified, I've been justified, but I haven't been glorified." So he said, "What is it that glorifies me?" And then the answer came from God, Spirit, and through the word of the Lord, that it is Mr. Spirit. Mr. Spirit is that person who glorifies each one of you. If you want to be glorified in God, then you've got to let Mr. Spirit come in and do this work. But the thing is, there are terms. There are terms, and the terms have to do with our obedience. Ephesians 2 says, "Those whom he has quickened, then those are the ones through whom he works." Mr. Spirit will dwell in clean temples. And all of you brought your temple into the church this morning. Mr. Spirit will dwell in a clean temple. For you see, these words from Paul in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You don't have to turn to it, but just listen if you will. 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of Mr. Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own." Your body is the temple of Mr. Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, reads like this. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And then he says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, a famous 3:16 of the Bible, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God," that's Mr. Spirit, "dwelleth in you." That is why the Bible says we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him. It's why the scripture says we are to confess our sins, so that this Spirit can come in and dwell in us. If the Spirit comes in to dwell, and if it's not a mist, if it's a person, and your body's only so big, then something has got to go. Self has got to go. Because spirit and self don't mix. Spirit and self can't be together. Spirit comes in, but self has got to go so spirit can develop. And that's where we are with our battle today with the flesh. This is where it is. The self has got to die so that the Spirit can come in. And this guy whose book I was reading said this, in light of his purity, it was not so much sin that we saw, but self. We saw pride, we saw self-motives underlying everything we had ever done. Lust, self-pity was discovered. The body was meant to be a temple of God. And so I asked myself, who is living in my body? The Savior or myself? Sin and self can't mix. Spirit and self can't mix. So we've got to die, and we've heard that over and again, crucifixion of ourself. Why? Why die to ourself? We enjoy the things that we do. Well, because Mr. Spirit can't mix with Mr. Self. One has got to go. It's got to be unconditional surrender. And the only place that the old nature can go is to the cross. To the cross. Now, the root of our nature is our self problem. Now, it isn't, yes, we're talking about sin. People say, now, I want to confess these sins. I want to rid myself of these sins that I've got so that Mr. Spirit can. We're not talking so much about sin. In fact, we're not talking about sin now. We are talking about self. We are dealing with the self. This is the problem. It is the self. Love of money, ambition, reputation, natural affection for parents and loved ones, it's all got to go to the cross so that in the crucifixion of these things that I've mentioned, then Spirit can come in. Again, Spirit will not mix with self. So the love of money, the ambition, the reputation, the natural affection for our parents and our loved ones has got to go so that the Spirit can come in. This man said, when the Holy Spirit lives his life in a chosen vessel, there is no limit to the extremes to which he will take him in the passion to warn and save the lost. When the Holy Spirit really lives his life in a person, there are extremes that you may be taken. For example, Isaiah had to walk naked and barefooted for 3 years. Now, I would say that that was extreme. I think of a guy by the name of Hosea who had to marry a harlot to show his people that the heavenly husband was willing to take back his adulterous wife. Jeremiah was not allowed to marry as a warning to Israel against the terrors and tragedies of the captivity. Ezekiel lost his wife and was told, "You can't shed one tear." And she, the scripture says, was the desire of his eyes. The Holy Spirit coming into people, like into every one of you. But for Mr. Spirit to come, our self has got to go. Now let me share with you three scriptures in closing. Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses say, if then ye be risen with Christ, this is talking to a person who's a Christian. Any Christians here? Okay, he's talking to you. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The dying of ourself happens when we set our affections on things above. Then Spirit comes in. Christians are supposed to be dead to the world. But many Christians are so in the world, you can't tell if they are a Christian or not, because they live, act, and appear as of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Tells us that we're to be in a certain state all the time. Well, it's not California, it's a certain state. And listen, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. always bearing about in the body, that is your physical body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The Christian is to be in a state of crucifixion for Jesus. This is a dying to ourself. And the third scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The more we die to the world, which is an enemy to Jesus, the more we're going to have room for Mr. Spirit. Mr. Spirit comes and says, I want to come in now. I mean all the way in. You've asked me in as a Christian, and you've become born again, but now I just want to be Mr. Spirit. I want to be Mr. Holy Spirit. And the only way I can become Holy Spirit is to perfect holiness in each one of you. And that comes about when we decide that we're just going to give ourselves. And this is the growing up to spiritual maturity, where we put aside the elementary things that we have learned in the past, and we grow up into spiritual maturity, into a life with Mr. Spirit. Pray with me, would you? Father, I thank you for Spirit. I praise God. I praise Jesus. I praise Spirit. It is my desire, Father, that Mr. Spirit become Holy Spirit in me. It is my desire, Father, that Mr. Spirit become Holy Spirit in the life of every child here, every young person, every adult. And when Mr. Spirit becomes Holy Spirit, we're going to see things change in our own sphere of influence, in our homes, our jobs, with spouses, with children, with neighbors, with relatives. Something's going to happen when Mr. Spirit comes and becomes holy. Father, we are desiring that part in our life, how we can cultivate holiness. May the Spirit convict us of the things that have to go in the cultivating of holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. As we conclude, would you play us some background music? And I just want you on your own, if you want to, come to the altar and pray. Go back to your seat. I want you to know that to cultivate holiness, you've got to do something. And when a person puts a step forward, like in coming out of a pew position and comes to the altar, you are putting your faith in action. And I just pray God will bless you now as we bow our heads and as we have a time to respond to what we've heard this day.